We turn to sacred scripture this evening to the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. There are three pieces of armor that were left out for treatment last year, so I return to these three pieces of armor, the armor of God. We're going to read the whole chapter. The text for the sermon is verse 16. This is God's inspired word. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. The text for the sermon, once again, verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, are you conscious of the fact that you are in the midst of a ferocious battle? A raging warfare against principalities and powers of darkness of this world. The truth and reality is that the Christian living in this world lives in a deadly battleground and not a playground. And yet, how many have neglected that truth to their own hurt? Fact is that some of the finest leaders and office bearers of God have forgotten this to their great injury. Of course, the most prominent examples in the Bible that come to mind are Judge Samson, King David, a man after God's own heart, and in the New Testament, of course, it's the Apostle Peter. And I'm sure too, beloved, you can recount of the many examples within our own tiny Protestant Reformed denomination in our recent history of office bearers who are no longer office bearers in our midst. This is sad, and it ought not be. Beloved, you and I are in the midst of intense spiritual warfare. A warfare that began with our first parents falling into sin and death, and then God drawing the battle line in the sand, dividing those who belong to the seed of the woman and separating them from those who belong to the seed of the serpent. We are in an intense warfare, also one in which the Lord has provided wonderfully for us as His soldiers. He has provided for us wonderful military equipment, designed thoughtfully, designed purposefully, designed effectively for our use, not just for our protection, but also for our attack upon our enemies, and also in a way of that accomplishing victory. And that equipment that we have our eye on, that the Holy Spirit causes us to focus on this evening, is that of the armor of God, the whole armor of God. Every piece, every one of the six pieces of the armor of God. Thus far, we have considered the first three pieces of the armor of God. Let's review each piece very quickly. The first and foundational piece is that of the girdle or belt of truth. The Apostle Paul, under inspiration, uses the Roman soldier and his armor to help us picture and understand the spiritual armor that God equips us. So just as the Roman soldier's girdle or belt held together all the other pieces of his armor and thus was the foundational piece to the whole of the armor, so also the Christian soldier's girdle or belt of truth is the foundational piece of armor that God has provided him. And that girdle refers to this. It refers to the deep spiritual conviction of the truth of God's word. A deep conviction of the truth of God's word. Without this basic conviction, having the Bible in our hands, or having the Bible memorized in our heads without that conviction, we become as sitting ducks in this battleground and battlefield of the world. Just one attack upon us is enough to fell us. We need this deep spiritual conviction of truth. We need this girdle and belt of truth, first of all, that we may lay hold and use the other pieces of the armor that God has supplied us. So, fellow Christian soldiers, be convicted of God's word of truth in your life. Put on and have on the girdle of truth. And then secondly, have on and put on also the second piece of armor, the breastplate of righteousness. Once again, picture the Roman soldier. The breastplate, of course, is talking about that piece of armor that protects the breast, the upper body part of the body of the soldier, and therefore protects his main organs, especially and in particular, his heart. One blow and one strike of the sword upon the heart, and the soldier is finished. Well, just as the breastplate protected the Roman soldier's heart, God's breastplate of righteousness for the Christian soldier protects our spiritual heart, the very center of and core of our being, protecting it from the guilt of our many sins that still remain with us against our will. God provides imputed righteousness outside of us in Jesus Christ to counter the attacks of guilt and accusation against us hurled at us by the enemy. And as well, he provides for us imparted righteousness, a righteousness worked inside of us that causes us to turn from sin and to live holy lives. In this way, our heart is protected against the guilt attacks of the devil, and properly devoted and consecrated to God, to his kingdom causes, to his will and his ways. That's the breastplate of righteousness. And then third, we have also considered the shoes or sandals of the Christian soldier, that of the gospel of peace. Just as the Roman soldier's shoes or sandals gave him important mobility and speed to move from one place of battle to another to fight, so also the Christian soldier enjoying peace, God's peace in his heart, coming from the gospel of peace, that enables him to move quickly and effectively from one place of battle and need to another, and be able to fight the good fight of faith on multiple fronts for our captain and our king. And now and today, this evening, our captain and king commands us to take the shield of faith. We read in verse 16, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." So tonight, we consider, first of all, the command from our captain and king, the captain of our salvation, to take this shield of faith. And then, secondly, consider our urgent need for it in the midst of raging warfare of the battle of faith. Thirdly and finally, we consider the certain victory we enjoy in the way of heeding the command of Jesus to take and use this shield of faith. Notice with me the text under the theme, "Take the shield of faith." We'll notice in the first place the command, in the second place the urgent need for it, and conclude with our certain victory. We begin with the command to take the shield of faith. And so we ask immediately, don't we, what is this shield of faith? Well, like the other pieces of armor we've already considered, the Holy Spirit here is using an earthly figure to describe the Christian soldier's invisible spiritual warfare and weapons which God has provided him. In particular, the reference here is to the visible earthly shield of a Roman soldier. But those among us, of course, who are familiar with the weapons of a Roman soldier are going to ask the next question. Which one do you have in mind, Pastor Lee? Which shield do you have in mind? Because the Roman soldier had two kinds of shields. The Word of God is clear. It's clear in the original, and it's also clear in our King James translation. To be sure, the reference here is not to that small, round shield, one which is about a foot and a half in diameter, and was of course commonly used in one-to-one combat, close-up combat, one-on-one with another soldier. The Holy Spirit is not referring to that small round shield. That kind of shield is commonly known and translated nicely in the King James Bible as a buckler. A buckler. As, for example, when David confesses in Psalm 18, verse 30, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler." That's a reference to that small round shield, a buckler to all those that trust in Him. A buckler, of course, was a sturdy, strong, and light shield, and it did its job well for close combat and close warfare, and that was its limited use. The Holy Spirit does not have His eye on the Roman soldier's buckler, but his shield proper. The reference here, as can be seen in the original, is to a much larger, much heavier shield, children. A shield as big as your door at home, your bedroom door. 7 feet tall, a few feet wide. A shield, a strong metallic piece that really protects the soldier, that he can hide behind that shield from all kinds of sharp implements and weapons coming at him. That's the shield of the text this evening. The picture is there of that 7 foot long, 2.5 foot wide shield. Unlike the buckler, the shield was meant for all combat situations. It was a do-it-all kind of shield. You understand, it served well to protect the Roman soldier who would use it in any situation at all, including also close-up combat, because it was able to form a complete and strong, sturdy, reliable, protective barrier for his entire body. It blocked just about everything that came its way. It blocked off swords, it blocked off spears or javelins, it blocked off, yes, also fiery darts mentioned in the text this evening. More on that soon. And being all-encompassing then, the shield in its protection, this long rectangular door-like shield of the Roman soldier that gave him complete all-around protection serves well to describe the spiritual reality of the Christian soldier's shield, the piece of his armor called the shield of faith. The shield of the Christian soldier is the shield of faith. That is to say, the shield which is faith. Faith, beloved, is so basic, so vital, and so important to the Christian. Without it, not only can we not stand in battle, but without it, we wouldn't even be believers, would we? We would lose our identity as a child of God. So then we ask the question, what kind of faith does the Holy Spirit have his eye on this evening? What kind of faith is it? Faith in the subjective sense. That is it our personal belief in God, our personal belief in his truth that acts as a shield? Or is it that faith is meant in the objective sense? That is it what we believe, namely the faith that was once delivered to all the saints, as Jude would have it in Jude verse 3. Is it referring, in other words, to God's body of truth, his divine body of truth, as set forth plainly in the Bible? Is it subjective or is it objective? And the answer? Well, the faith that is our shield is both subjective and objective, isn't it? Because the subjective faith which protects us always involves objective faith. If our faith is to shield us, it must believe what it also stands on and defends. It is both subjective and objective. Beloved, understand that faith is inseparable from the Bible and the entire body of truth it contains. And the Bible is God's complete revelation for the believer. Is there any situation, is there any circumstance and part of life that the Bible does not address? Certainly not. It is therefore only fitting that the all-comprehensive protection that the Christian soldier needs, that you and I need in battle, is this shield of faith. But in order for it to do its job of protection, it needs to be taken up and used. Hence the command in the text tonight to take the shield of faith. That is, use it. God has given us the Bible. God has given us faith. Now, get going, Christian soldier. And so we read, above all, taking the shield of faith. Above all. Mysterious words, aren't they, beloved? Well, let's understand that above all here does not mean that the shield of faith is the most important compared to all the other pieces of the armor of God that we have seen so far, or also even including the ones we haven't seen. Truth is that every piece of armor is important. The instruction is to put on the whole armor of God. So above all doesn't mean that. But above all here means in every circumstance and on every occasion. Now, of course, it is true that every piece of the armor of God is to be brought into battle by the Christian soldier in every circumstance and on every occasion. That's true. So what is the point? What is the point of the Holy Spirit here by making this explicit with regards to the shield of faith? This is the point. Because the shield that is given to us is so huge and seemingly cumbersome, right, children? The Bible is a book of 66 books filled with knowledge and wisdom and instruction, so that when God calls us to take up this shield of faith by the faith he gives us, this word of God seems to be so big and cumbersome and clunky to bring with us in every situation and circumstance of life. That's the point. Holy Spirit is saying here, it is not cumbersome, it is not huge, it is something which we will need. We will need along the pathway and circumstance and situation of life. So spiritually, we believers, of course, are tempted not to take by faith all of the truths of God's word to heart. We're inclined to forget about all the truths of Scripture and perhaps take only our favorite ones with us into our daily life and living. We may not. We must not. Hence, the Holy Spirit says to us, above all, take the shield of faith. Take the shield of faith. That is, take it and use it. Do so swiftly. Do so urgently. And do so with confidence. Take the entire truth of God's word with you into battle, into every circumstance of battle. When a fellow soldier is fallen and in need of protection from an incoming lunge of a sword, Take that shield of faith. When a sword, a spear, or javelin is coming your way, over here, over there, take that shield of faith. When no danger seems to be imminent, take that shield of faith. When you are commanded to charge straight into the enemy in battle, who is armed and well armed against you, take that shield of faith. Take it. Use it. Do so swiftly to block the enemy's deadly attacks in any and every circumstance of battle, without hesitation, because there is an urgent need for it. And what is that urgent need? Listen to the text once again. Wherewithal ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So, two things here, beloved. First of all, the enemy we face, that's the wicked. And then in particular, his fiery darts. That's the urgent need, a twofold urgent need. So first of all, because of the enemy we face, the text reads literally, the wicked. That's it. But realize here, beloved, that the wicked here is not a reference to the wicked world, that is to wicked persons in this world. Rather, it is in reference to the wicked one. And children, who is the wicked one? It's our chief enemy, isn't it? It's the devil. It is in reference to this fallen angel, to this accuser, to this great tempter, this father of all lies, who is the commander-in-chief of a whole legion of demons, that he can unleash at us at any one time. Beloved, this is a dangerous enemy. Dangerous because he hates us with a vigorous hatred, an unceasing vigorous hatred. He never ceases, therefore, to look for ways to hurt us, to attack us. Doesn't matter whether we're on vacation or we're busy working, fighting the good fight of faith. He's always looking for a way to get at us and hurt us. Dangerous also because he is like a roaring lion, so says Peter in 1 Peter, seeking to devour its prey. And as well dangerous because he knows our weaknesses. Sometimes better than we do ourselves. He knows our weaknesses. He has experience. He's picked up 6,000 years of experience and wisdom in attacking mankind. So often he uses the world and as well also our weak, sinful flesh against us in combination with all his wiles. That is, all his many schemes, evil schemes, methods, and weapons he has against us. Because of this great and dangerous enemy we face, we have an urgent need to take up and use this shield of faith. That's the first reason. But also, and in particular, in the second place, because of the fiery darts he uses against us, the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, what are these darts all about, these fiery darts? Understand that the earthly figure here is not to the sharp objects that are about 2 to 3 inches long that we might take up and throw at a dartboard. That's not the idea. That's not the earthly figure here. The dart here is not referring to that kind of dart, but much more it is referring to something that's much longer, an arrow. That's the idea. Fiery darts here are flaming arrows, arrows of fire, arrows that light a fire wherever they land and wreak havoc and ruin. That's the earthly figure. Spiritually, these fiery darts refer especially to temptations, temptations of the devil, that when they, of course, pierce through, pierce right through and penetrate, will set our souls on fire. The flaming arrows of temptation are such that they cause great havoc and damage in the heart and life of the believer. And let's be very practical and specific here this evening, beloved. Among the many flaming arrows of temptation there are out there, there is first and most significantly, I say, the dart and the flaming arrow of sexual temptation and sin. We read about that in Proverbs chapter 7. Let's open up our Bibles together to Proverbs chapter 7. We read about this flaming arrow of sexual temptation being unleashed by a strange woman upon an unsuspecting, unwitting man. Proverbs chapter 7, I call your attention to verse 12 and onwards, referring to that strange woman. Verse 10, you can see, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. Now notice verse 13. So she caught him, she's got a victim now, and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with the linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He is gone on a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Now notice verse 23, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. That unwitting young man, beloved, who had succumbed to the fiery dart of sexual temptation of the strange woman, had failed to take the shield of faith with him. In so doing, he acted foolishly, faithlessly, had gone the way to a house deliberately, only to succumb to the many fiery darts of sexual temptation. That stands, of course, in stark contrast to Joseph in the book of Genesis chapter 39, who, unlike him, wisely took his shield of faith with him into every situation of life, in particular when there was great need. Turn now in your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 39, and I call your attention to the portion of Scripture in chapter 39, that is the verses 7 through 12, that is in with reference to Joseph's incident with Potiphar's wife. Genesis 39, 7 through 12, it came to pass after these things that his master's wife, Joseph's master's wife, cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But now notice, but he refused. He refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath To my hand, there is none greater in this house than I, neither have he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Notice that. There's a viewpoint of faith here. Sin always sees the act of sin as done in offense against God. Not the person first, but against God. Then verse 10, it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not to her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Beloved congregation, there is good reason for us to highlight this fiery dart and temptation and the failure to use the shield of faith against it. Not only have great men of the Bible fallen, I mentioned Samson, David, but also in our day, how many an office bearer, ministers, they receive the most prominence, but also elders and deacons in recent history have been pierced by this fiery dart of sexual temptation. So then, this is a word of warning to office bearers in particular, and especially, first of all, but not only to them. Since good men and leaders can fall prey to this temptation and fail to use the shield of faith, this application and word of warning is for every one of us, including our children who are yet tender in age. Never estimate the fiery darts of the devil, especially this fiery dart and arrow that can be shot at any given time. So, beloved, take that shield. Take that shield of faith with you. It may seem clunky and cumbersome to us, but it is not. We have an urgent need to take and use that shield for our protection. For, beloved, Satan has many other fiery darts, doesn't he? Many other flaming arrows he can shoot at us because he hates us. And he has so many weapons at his disposal, and he never ceases to assault us. Think now of the fiery dart of the tongue. James chapter 3, of course, is the big chapter in the Bible that speaks of the tongue as an untamable world of iniquity, even a fire which defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the whole course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Oh, beloved, think of the great damage that the tongue, that fiery words, hurtful words can cause deep down inside the head, the heart, the soul of a person. Beloved, hurtful words can so cut right through and gut the soul of a person and light up and set up a soul on fire. And here, young parents, there are many young parents here. Young parents here need to be careful and watchful with regard to the chastisement and correction of their children, especially of their besetting weaknesses. Be careful that you not even come close, parents, not even come close to exercising our frustration and expressing our disappointment with our children when we chastise them. Chastisement needs to be done in love, motivated by love, and also seen clearly by your child as an act of love. Recognize that the souls and consciences of our young children are tender, and that chastisement and correction needs to be exercised in a patient manner of love. Jesus says, "A bruised reed will I not break, and a smoking flax will I not quench." Well, we need to keep that in heart and mind when it comes to words that we speak, especially in relation to our children. Words can be fiery darts, but also there are other fiery darts. The scripture calls attention to the fiery darts of anger, of bitterness, of jealousy, darts which, when they penetrate and pierce right through in our souls, can also gut and destroy us, and as well gut and destroy precious relationships and friendships that are around us, relationships and friendships which might have taken years to be cultivated. That can all be gone all at once when we are attacked and not prepared for these fiery arrows aimed at us. Beloved, how urgent, therefore, the need, therefore, is for us to take and use well this shield of faith and be prepared at every moment, on every occasion and circumstance in life. At work, especially when we find ourselves alone, brothers and men, but also at school, that's right, children's school starting up soon. Even in a Christian school, there's sin in everywhere you go. Everywhere we go, we need to be ready, because the devil can attack us with his fiery arrows anywhere and at any time. And here, it is the captain of salvation, our Lord Jesus Christ, who shows us the perfect example of readiness for combat and his wonderful use of this shield of faith. For what did the devil do, children? When he found Jesus in a severely weakened state after 40 days and nights without food. Remember, children, what the devil did with respect to Jesus? He fired 3 fiery arrows of temptation at Jesus, didn't he? And in that weakened state, what did Jesus do with each fiery arrow that came at him? He used the shield of faith, didn't he? Each arrow was warded off by the use of the shield of faith. Jesus said, "It is written," to the first arrow. He said, "It is written," to the second arrow. And he said again, "It is written," to the third arrow aimed at him, shot at him by the devil. "It is written." Jesus knew the Word of God very well, didn't he? And he used it in the most timely moment. And how effective that shield of faith in the Word of God was. For by it, Jesus overcame the devil. He protected himself from all his fiery darts. He triumphed over the devil. And so will every Christian soldier, every dear child of God who takes and uses the shield of faith. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 1 John 5, verse 4. Beloved, you and I are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Victory, certain victory is ours through him who loved us and who gave his life for us. A certain victory of ours that is also made plain to us in our text. Notice, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all. Notice that word, all. Every one of those fiery darts of the wicked. Ye shall be able. We are given ability to protect ourselves thoroughly and perfectly. Beloved, do you believe that with all your heart? Well, then take that shield of faith into every circumstance of life in the week ahead. Do so in thankful, joyful, loving obedience unto that wonderful Savior and captain of your salvation and mine, even our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, bless this word. May we be found as good Christian soldiers using this shield of faith, taking heed to the whole armor of God and the command to put on every piece and to use each piece more and more effectively in the course of battle. Protect us, guide us, give us grace and growth, and forgive us where we have failed and fallen. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.